The Christian faith has often been typecast as a rigid philosophical position that holds its followers to a list of strictly held rules. No wonder people avoid it. But once we truly investigate the life of Jesus, we discover how twisted this stereotype has become. It was Jesus who sent shockwaves through the legalistic community of his day. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll presents another study in his classic series called The Grace Awakening. In this first message, we're reminded that Jesus came to set us free. Chuck titled today's message, Grace, It's Really Amazing.
Chapter 8 is a story of the woman taken in adultery. It gets really good. Here's this woman who is pulled right from the bed and dragged here in front of Jesus, half-clothed, no doubt. And these people who are listening to Jesus teach are suddenly embarrassed for her, as the Pharisees say, this woman was taken from the very act of adultery. What do you have to say about it? Well, that's a dilemma. If he says, condemn her, stone her, then his message of forgiveness doesn't work. If he says, oh, really, she meant well, it's okay, no problem, then his message on the holiness of God is a fraud. What does he say? Oh, he says, you who are without sin, cast the first stone. He's looking at Pharisees whom nobody corrected. And he put them in their place. So naturally, they swarmed him like flies on watermelon. They want to know all about this teacher from Nazareth, who doesn't even know who his daddy is. Our father's Abraham. We know who our father is, implying you illegitimate. So in the midst of a discussion like that, look at verse 30. He spoke these things. Many came to believe in him. Jesus was saying to the Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, you are truly disciples of mine. Look at this. Not the words of the Pharisees, not the words of traditionalism, not the legalist message. If you study me, if you continue in my word, if you follow my teachings, you're my disciples. And what will happen? You'll know the truth. And what? You'll be freed. You'll be freed. How great is that message? You'll be free. You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Jesus also said, verse 36, if the Son makes you free, you'll be free indeed. You'll really be free. If the Son makes you free, if he says free, nobody else's bondage ought to even get a wink from you. By the way, just in passing, can we take a quick glance at Galatians chapter 3 and 5? Just real quick. First, 2 Corinthians. Always afraid one of the kids cut it out of my Bible. Here it is. Chapter 3, here it is. Foolish Galatians, chapter 3, verse 1. One of the paraphrases says, you stupid Galatians. Who got a hold of you and shot you a crooked stick? Who told you that you now live by the law, having believed by grace? Galatians, how did you let this happen? We founded the church on grace, and all of a sudden legalizers came in and told you what you must and must not do, what you will and will not do in order to be found acceptable by us, and you believed them. Who bewitched you? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Look at chapter 5, verse 1. Talk about something to fight for. It was for freedom Christ set us free. Therefore, look at this. It's a command. Keep standing firm. Where? In your freedom. And it continues, do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. That's why I write as I do. Legalists are allowed to strut their stuff and nobody stops them. At this church, we'll stop you. That won't be allowed. This is a place where there will be forgiveness and grace and love and mercy and understanding. Sure, there are responsibilities. Of course there are. We're not talking about that. I'm saying the attitude, a spirit about this place will be one of acceptance, understanding. And we will not put people under a yoke of slavery. You'll never get my list. I have one. It's my convictions. I don't feel comfortable doing the things that the Lord has somehow convinced me I shouldn't be doing. Not necessarily spelled out in the scriptures, but as a result of gleaning from the principles, I've come to certain things in my life I don't want to allow, and you'll never know what they are. And I don't care what you think about them. I don't answer to you. Nor will I have the audacity to think you got to live just like I live in order to be pleasing. Christ is our model. I'm not. Please, keep that in mind. It'll help you. Because when I blow it, and I will, you won't be disillusioned. See, I've done that. I've pedestalized pastors and teachers, thinking they live up here and I'm down here. And then they don't stay up there. And then I'm disillusioned. So I've learned we're all down here. And by His grace, we sometimes soar, and more often than not, we blow it. And we're free to come back and to be forgiven. Stand fast in it. This series will help you stand fast. By the way, don't expect everybody to like it. I met a wonderful lady at an airport a number of years ago. It was the Ontario Airport in California. She walked up to me and she said, "Do you write a particular book?" I said, "Yep, I did." Oh, she says, "Can I tell you my story?" I said, "Sure." She was from a legalistic background, raised a legalist. Her father and mother were legalists. They were in a denomination that was legal. And she married a legalist. So we got a whole crew of them coming together. And now they have kids. And their kids began to rebel. They rebelled against the rules and regulations and demands and the rigidity of their parents. Kids are pretty bright kids. They spot stuff like that. Now, kids need boundaries, but these people were doing more than giving boundaries. They're telling them what to wear, how to wear it, what to say, how to say it, where to go and when to do it, and on. These are growing kids, and the kid's sick of it. So she said, a friend of hers told her, "Have you read this book?" "It's a heretical book I wrote." And so she said, "No, I haven't." She said, "We're not allowed to read it in our denomination." And, some cases, that's a compliment, by the way. Just like being fired from some places. That's a good thing on your resume. She said, "I read the book." And she said it just turned me around. I thought, I'm not going to live like this anymore. She was even borderline suicidal. That often comes with a rigidity like that. So her husband noticed changes, and he said, "What's come over you?" She said, "I got to tell you, I read one of the books that we banned." And she said, "Here it is." Gave it to him. It's a true story. He was a pastor of a legalistic church. And he read it. Never told a soul. Of course not. They'd have fired him. And he said to her when it was over, I can't keep doing what I'm doing. We're losing our family. I'm losing you. We're losing touch. So he said, "I'm going to announce that I'm embracing the message of grace." They fired him. Not only did they fire him as he met the cold stares of his congregation, they ostracized him. That whole group of people that had been friends were no longer their friends, because these people were now embracing grace. She said to me with this wonderful smile, she's, by the way, finishing her master's to go into a particular ministry. That's why she was at the airport to take the flight there. She said, "My husband has been involved now in another church," and she said, "our kids are back." And she said, "You just can't know the difference." She was radiant with a joy that was contagious, folks. Absolutely contagious. And I'd never met her before, and I've never seen her since. What is this grace? What does it mean? And you know what I thought? I thought she stood firm and was not going to continue under a yoke of slavery. Isn't that courageous? Takes guts. Takes guts. Especially if most of your friends are squint-eyed. You know, watching. You have your quiet time every morning? Did you pray today? Did you witness to three people today? You know, the list. Do you drink wine at that meal? Oh, I better stop there, man. I'm getting the stares already. I didn't see him all. You don't know whether I drink wine or not. Did you go to that movie? You let your kids go to the dance? You a Christian? And on, it gets far more bitter than that. Stand firm in the liberty. Or don't call yourself a Christian. Call yourself a legalist. Stand free. Live free. D. Martin Lloyd-Jones once said, if you preach grace and nobody takes it too far, you haven't preached enough grace. Martin Lloyd-Jones. That'll get your attention. I mean, he's tight as a rubber band. Here he is telling you, if some don't go too far, you haven't gone far enough. That's the risk we run when we preach grace. Some of you will go too far, and I'll regret it, you'll regret it, and God will have to bring you back. Verse 13 is also in the book. You were called to freedom, brethren. Look at 5:13. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh. So he warns against that. Romans says, shall we sin that grace may abound? Meganoita, God forbid, may it never happen. What a ghastly thought. He's not promoting that. He's just saying it's going to happen. But that's not what grace is about. That's grace taken to license, and that's tragic. That's unfortunate. Some will do that. So when you preach grace, you live with that possibility. I'd rather have that than legalism. There'll be less of those who do that than fall into legalism. Because God is at work in our conscience. But I'm not looking in keyholes. And I'm not checking your car. I got too much time I got to spend keeping myself straight. Thank God. I about ruined my marriage. I certainly ruined a couple of ministries in the process of learning this. I've decided that's no way to live. Let me tell you what you can expect from this series, okay? Where am I here? There we are. Four expectations. Oh, I got to give you a definition. Doggone it, I forgot that. Let me go back here. Starting to believe my own stuff here. Getting so carried away with this. What is grace? It's what God does for us that we don't deserve and cannot ever earn and will never be able to repay. In the words of Benjamin Warfield, it's free sovereign favor to the ill-deserved. That's vertical grace. That's salvation grace. What is grace to others? It's freeing them up to live their lives. All that they are to be in Christ. Even if it differs greatly from your life. Even if the lifestyle differs from yours. Nobody died and left you in charge of them. Jesus died in freedom. He freed them. So when you demonstrate grace, you set people free. You relieve the shame. That's the message of grace. What can you expect? Number one, you can expect to gain a new respect for God's gifts. That's right, God's gifts. His gifts to you and his gifts to others. The gift of salvation, the gift of life, the gift of forgiveness. Undeserved favor. Grace will teach you to appreciate just the breath in your lungs, the gift of joy and laughter in the midst of tough times and happy times, the gift of being relieved of pressure, the gift of a relaxed mentality, the gift of security, the gift of friendship and beauty and the arts. Your world will open. Grace will open your world. Second, you can expect to spend less time and energy critical of others, especially their choices. The more you grow in grace, the more you will operate in the context of freedom, and the more you'll want others to be free. You really will. Third, you can expect to be more, let's say, mature in your judgment. You'll be discerning, but you'll not be condemning. Grace will open your eyes, first and mainly upon your own needy areas, which will keep you really humble, broken, teachable. Finally, you'll expect to take a giant leap toward maturity. You'll really start to grow up. You really begin to be a Christian adult. You really will. Reinhold Niebuhr once wrote, "You may be able to compel people to maintain certain minimum standards by stressing duty, but the highest moral and spiritual achievements depend not upon a push, but a pull. People must be charmed into righteousness." That'd be great. Charmed into righteousness. I love this story I found of Sir Edward Burne-Jones, prominent 19th century English artist. Went to tea at the home of his daughter, and she let the granddaughter sit with them at the table. Very special treat. While the granddaughter was at the table, she began to misbehave, and she kept misbehaving. And finally, the mother told her to stand in the corner, face the wall, and stand in the corner. Being a seasoned grandfather, Edward didn't interfere with the grandchild's training. However, the next morning he showed up early at the front door with his palette and paints. He went over to the corner where the little girl had been made to stand, and there he painted several beautiful scenes: a tiny kitten chasing its tail, lambs frolicking in the fields, goldfish swimming, little bubbles coming up as they're smiling at each other. He decorated the walls on each side of the corner with colorful paintings for his granddaughter's delight. If she ever had to stand at that corner again, at least she'd have something beautiful and fun to look at, said this grandfather full of grace. Doesn't mean that people shouldn't be standing in the corner if they've done wrong and suffering the consequences. That's God's business. But how about helping them get out and get on? How about hope for tomorrow? It'll give you a yes face. It'll change your whole life. Let's bow together. You heard about vertical grace, and it's very possible you've never entered into it. You've come to the cross in your mind. That's the place to be. It's there you believe in the Lord Jesus, and He'll make you one of His children. Right now. You don't have to clean up your life. You don't have to start being good. You don't have to come to church every Sunday. You don't have to plead and wail that God would hear you. You'll be His child. How wonderful is that? Sit very quietly following this prayer. Thank you, Father, for your magnificent word that lives and abides forever. Heaven and earth will pass away, but never your word. Thank you for your Son, Jesus, and for His finding us in the corner and painting our lives with color and beauty and hope and a reason to go on. Thank you for grace. Amazing grace.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. You're listening to Insight for Living, featuring the first message in Chuck Swindoll's classic series called The Grace Awakening. As you'd expect, Insight for Living has prepared a variety of supportive resources designed to help you dig deeper on your own. First, you'll find Chuck's book, The Grace Awakening, available for purchase at insight.org/store. And then we invite you to access the free interactive Searching the Scriptures study notes by going to insightworld.org/studies. To listen to any portion of this message again, you can find it online at insightworld.org. For the benefit of those who've heard this classic series before, you'll be glad to learn that Chuck has added several brand new messages, making this one of the most powerful and practical series ever presented on Insight for Living. We continue to hear from grateful friends who tell us that this is the study that transformed their walk with God. And it's all made possible because we come together and collectively give to this nonprofit ministry. We're 100% committed to proclaiming God's grace on your radio station. And 100% of the work we do happens through the generosity of people like you. Will you help someone else experience God's life-changing grace through this program? If you're listening in the United States, you can give by calling 1-800-772-8888. Or you can easily give by using our convenient mobile app or by simply going online to insight.org. No one has more impact on this nonprofit ministry than those who agree to give monthly as one of our monthly companions. And if you're prepared to take this step today, we invite you to do so by calling right now. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888. Or it may be quicker to sign up online at insight.org/monthly companion. Treat yourself to a vacation you'll never forget on the Insight for Living Ministries cruise to the Great Frontier with Chuck Swindoll.
Honestly, I had no idea that a cruise to Alaska could be so much fun. And without a doubt, the stunning views took my breath away.
God's artistic genius is on full display in Alaska. In fact, I guarantee this, you'll come home refreshed and filled with awe for His majestic creation.
Yeah, at one point, our ship was getting chased by dolphins. They were playing and spinning in the waves. It was amazing.
You'll have plenty of time for adventures on shore, lingering conversations around mealtime, and strolling through the idyllic ports of call. And this will be memorable because it will be in celebration of our 40th anniversary at Insight for Living Ministries.
The dates are June 29 through July 6, 2019. To learn more, call 1-888-447-0444. That's 1-888-447-0444. Or visit insight.org/events. The tour to Alaska is paid for and made possible by only those who choose to attend. Tomorrow, Chuck Swindoll describes a spiritual gift that's truly free as he continues his series, The Grace Awakening, on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Grace, It's Really Amazing, was copyrighted in 2005, 2013, and 2019, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2019 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.